Idiots.
Oh. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I have good news for you.
Yay.
And the good news is, not only because it's the beginning of August, which is good news, because in the next 3 weeks of August, we are going to see if we can put this whole thing together so that everyone knows how to ask God for what they want and get it. Because if you're not getting what you want, it has nothing to do with God. It has something to do with you. And the world that is with you is, you are not using the correct language in order to get what you want. And we have not been taught this. This was taken away from us. And now we're going to put it back. We talked many times about all the things that we came to this plane of action with, and with the toolbox that we have. And if we look at this thing that we call God as a technology, we have to be able to use that technology. And the problem when you're not getting what you want is because you don't know how to use the technology. You could have a computer in your home, and if you don't know how to use it, it doesn't do you a bit of good. But if you know how to use it, it can do things for you. This thing that we call God, if you know how to use it, can do things for you. You see, God always wants to give you everything. And if you're not getting what you want, it is not God's fault, because God does not show favor. God is in the giving business. God always wants to give you everything. So we have to look at that and say, then it has to do with my thinking. It has to do with my feelings. It has to do with my emotion. What is going on here is stopping me from having what I want. You see, we can't keep coming to these classes, or any classes, or go to church every Sunday and say, oh, isn't it wonderful? There's this thing that we call God, and this thing is very mighty, and it's able to do this, that, and the other thing, and then not be able to use it. That makes no sense whatsoever. This has to be a practical teaching where you can use all these techniques, all these technologies, to be able to tap in to the motherboard so that you can get what you want. So this month, we're going to learn those things so that we just don't keep adding information to ourselves that makes us feel good but doesn't get us where we want to go. And it's wonderful to feel good, but if you're not getting what you want, it's not helping you. And there's no sense to go through your whole life and end up at the end thinking, I never got what I wanted. Now, and still, you believe in God. I don't think there's anyone that comes to these classes that doesn't believe in God. There may have been one last week that came that didn't believe in God, but that's a different story. And here, while I'm talking about God, let me explain something. This is a God-oriented teaching. It's always going to be a God-oriented. When I call God, whenever I call God, I'm talking about God. I call it a technology, if I call it a matrix, whatever I call it, it's always going to be God. And I'm always going to talk about God for several different reasons. One of them is I'm a minister. So, right there should tell you that I'm going to talk about God. The other reason why I'm going to talk about God is because I have discovered that God is my best friend. And I love to talk about my friends. And God is my best friend. So I'm going to talk about God. And I don't talk about God to offend anybody. I talk about God so that you can get a bigger, better idea of what is going on in your life and in the universe itself, and how we're all connected to this thing and how we can use it. You've heard me say many times that we say God is mighty. That is absolutely true. We can use that up one side and down the other and say God is mighty. But now we have to remember that God is also useful, and we have to be able to use God. Otherwise, it makes no sense to say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. It makes no sense to say that I'm connected to this thing in the universe, this thing for good, and then not be able to use it. So we have to be able to use this. Our whole thing here is to be able to prove that this actually works, and that it works every time. So that is what we're going to do in August. And at the end of August, we are all going to be able to manifest what we want. To be able to manifest what we want. So enough of the learning this little tidbit and that little tidbit. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty here and find out the technology so that we can use it. All right? So let's start with one of the things. And one of the things that you've heard me say forever and a day is the life of the organism is feelings. The life of the organism is always going to be feelings. So when we say, we have this expression in religious science, change your mind, change your life. You've heard that so many times, and it makes so much sense. And people think, isn't that wonderful? Just change my mind, and my life will change. Now, how many people in here have changed their mind and their life hasn't changed? You see? So, the idea here is, it should be, change your feeling, change your life. Because the underlying thing is always going to be feelings. So, if you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you can pray up one side and down the other, and it's not going to work for you. It is not going to work for you. Because the underlying feeling is, I am not worthy. So if you have the underlying feeling that you're not worthy, it's going to be very difficult to navigate life and to bring things into your life. Because God always wants to give you what you want. God always gives you what you want. So your feeling is, I am unworthy. So you produce more unworthiness. You just produce more unworthiness. It doesn't matter if you think up here in your head. You can go through those things. I'm deserving, worthy, totally lovable, and though I matter. And you can intellectually accept that. And that can be running through your mind. But if it's not running through your entire being, if you haven't gotten that in every cell and fiber of your being, the rest of it is not going to work. That is one of those steps that people leave out. And I believe when Ernest Holmes, whoever came up with change your mind, change your life, they knew this. And their mind accepted their feelings and their emotions. So they thought, oh, here's mind doing this. And yes, we use our mind to do these things. But the underlying thing is always going to be feelings. So, how are you feeling? And always, how are you feeling about yourself? How are you feeling about yourself? So, you have to make your mind accept that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. So with that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay. So that's why you have us do the affirmations until we buy it.
You have to do an affirmation, you have to do a treatment, you have to do anything until you buy it. To your mind buys it. To your body buys it. To every cell in your being buys that. It has to resonate through you. Always. You've heard me say that. I can give you an affirmation. Money is always freely circulating in my life and always have it as a divine surplus. Well, if that resonates in me, you may have that if it resonates in you. If it doesn't, stop saying it. won't do you a bit of good. It's just a waste of time. Just an absolute waste of time. Has to be reasonable. You have to be able to accept it, and you have to be able to feel it. You have to be able to feel it. So if we're going to talk about emotions tonight, but before we do that, let's look at this. First thing here, the language of God. And that first sentence there, ancient tradition suggests that the effects of prayer comes from something other than the words of the prayers themselves. It has nothing to do with the words that you're saying. A lot of people think it's the incantation, that it's the ritual that exists out of the other thing that's doing it. It is never going to be that. It's always going to be your underlying emotion. It's going to be your underlying feeling. In Course in Miracles and many other places, they tell you that there are only two human emotions. That we always have only two human emotions. Love and fear. Or whatever happens is the opposite for you. The hate, whatever it is. Those are the two. It's always going to boil down to degrees of that. So an emotion, you have to have that love emotion going on all the time. Mm-hmm. You have to have that love for yourself and love for what you're trying to manifest in your life. Get a feeling of love. Get a feeling, what will it feel like? How will I feel why I'm doing this? Not thinking, oh, well, I'll feel this, I'll feel that. Thinking feelings are not feelings, people. When you say, somebody says to you, how do you feel? Oh, I feel happy. What does that mean? That's just a word. You have to know what happiness is for you. You have to know what that feeling is. We have been taught always to deny our feelings, not to show our emotions, not to show our feelings. Now I'm asking you, you have to bring this back up. You have to relearn so that you know what you're feeling. You can ask some people, how are you feeling? And they say, I don't know. I have no idea how I'm feeling. Because they have never been able to allow themselves to feel anything. Intellectually, they know, but they don't feel. And that's what you see out there in the world all the time. They're doing it intellectually, but they're not doing it. Ancient tradition suggests that the effect of prayer comes from something other than the words of the prayers themselves. And I was reminded when I read that of my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never go to heaven. They never go to heaven. See, hollow words without the feelings and without the thoughts behind them go nowhere. And that happened to be William Shakespeare, that's Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 3. Isn't that a wonderful one? My words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never go to heaven. So words without thoughts and feelings never go to heaven. Then in this language of God, he goes on to say here, and this is Greg Braden, by the way, he goes on to say that the secret of prayer lies beyond the words of praise, the incantations, and the rhythmic chants to the powers to be. Through texts such as the Dead Sea Scrolls, we are invited to live the intent of our prayer in our lives. For if the words are spoken only with the mouth, they are a dead hive, which gives no more honey. But the main thing here is, live with the intent of our prayer in our lives. Live the intent. You say, I want to be rich. You say something. Then you have to live that. Remember, I said you must always live at the level of your demonstration. Once you give a treatment, then you must live at that level of the demonstration that you want. That's the intent of our prayer in our lives. What is the intent of our prayer? This thing. Then you start to feel that. and you start to live that way, you're saved. Now, that doesn't mean to go out and charge up all your credit cards and do all that kind of stuff. You have to use wisdom with this. What that means is live the intent of our prayer. You must become your demonstration. You must start to think in a different way, start to feel in a different way about yourself and about what you're trying to manifest. See, you're always going to become that. If you are looking for a relationship and you want the relationship to be such and such and such and such, you must become that relationship. You must become the person you wish to fall in love with. You must become the person that you wish to fall in love with. See, you have a question?
I so believe that that is true. I visualize this. What I wanted more than anything was a relationship. And I talked to God. I said, I want this relationship. I want him to be like me. I want him to think like me. I think I'm a pretty good person. I want him to be like me. The only thing I forgot is I want him to have money, but I didn't say that. Now, we're both stuck. And I guess I believe so long, for so long in my life, I've been so stuck in thinking that good people, how do I say it, think about other things rather than money. Mm. Yeah, so
If you want in life, you must think about what you think about, you bring about. I'm going to back up a minute. You said you got what you wanted, but the man did not have the money.
Yeah, I didn't ask for it.
But it had nothing to do with you asking for it or not asking for it. Your first mistake was, I think I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah, I caught myself when I said that. I didn't even know.
And I would catch those things, you know that.
I know you do.
I listen very closely.
I know.
You have to know that you're a very good person. So when you were doing your thing, you see, you got exactly what you wanted. You got exactly what you wanted. You're always going to get exactly what you want. You see, you could no longer blame anything on anybody else. You see, certainly cannot blame this on God. God chose no favorites, and exactly what you want and what you're asking for by the way you feel about yourself. Well, I think I'm a pretty good person. So you got somebody that was pretty good, but not all the way.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's done with the language and it's done with the feelings. You have to be clear. When I was in the Church of Religious Science in Atlanta, on our little cards that we put out for people who wanted treatment work done, it would say at the top, exactly what do you want? Not some. Exactly what do you want? If you can't be clear on what you want, you cannot expect God to be clear on what you want. You see, you have to know that. You have to be clear.
Well, it's like when I talk to people and I say, well, how much more money do you want? Well, I don't know.
They don't know.
So the universe goes, okay, they don't know, so they don't need any more, I guess.
You know, I mean, it's not that I decided that we weren't going to do race mind alerts and so forth, because we don't want to dwell on that now that you know, and you know that it's out there. But I did hear this one, and I hear it quite often, so I'll quickly do it, since you mentioned something. I hear so many people say, you can never have enough money.
Yes.
You can never have enough money. So if you're saying that, you see, if you had $1 billion, it would never be enough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide when it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that you feel good about that, you see. But we don't. We have that going on, and it's like the American dream. You must own a piece of property. There's never enough money. Or like Wally Simpson said, no one can be too rich or too thin. Okay. It is the feeling of our prayers that opens the door and illuminates our path to the forces of the seen as well as the unseen. And the catcher here is feeling. Feeling is the prayer. Feeling is the prayer. You have to do the feeling. Once you get the feeling, that's the prayer. That's the prayer. Mm. So, you can do affirmations for yourself. I feel more. I know what I feel. I can feel. I know what emotions are going through. Instead of numbing yourself out all the time and pretending that you don't know what your feelings are. It's time we all grow up with that and forget that thing that we can't show our feelings, we can't show our emotions, or we can't have feelings at all. If we go back to the statement that the life of the organism is feelings, if you're cheating yourself out of your feelings, you're cheating yourself out of life. And so many people are doing that because they're completely numb. And the world out there keeps people completely numb because many people are on pills of some sort. Many people are on liquor of some sort. Many people are on drugs of some sort. So they're completely cutting themselves off from their feelings. And we have all done that, and we sometimes do that because we think, I cannot feel that right now, and I cut myself off. Learn to feel. Learn to feel. We weren't given that gift of feeling. Not to use it. Not to use it. You see. But for some reason, feeling has got a dirty rap somewhere along the line. Because we always think, oh, we have a feeling, it must be hatred, it must be rage, it must be that. Did I say anything about that? Can't we have joy and happiness and love and compassion and all those kinds of feelings going on? And learn to really like those and put those through our system? It makes much more sense, doesn't it? Words must generate a quality of feeling within us in order to touch the world around us. We generate a quality of feeling, the words. You see, word structure, font. Font. Always precedes feeling. So you can make your own feeling. Feelings follow thought. Feelings always follow thought. So learn to feel joy. Learn to feel happy. Learn to feel this. But the main thing is, give up this idea that this thing that we call God doesn't want to give you something, doesn't want to listen to you, and can't do something for you. Give that idea up. That's an old idea given to you by brand name religions. Don't do that to yourself. Know that this thing wants to do everything for you. And it does everything for you by doing everything through you. And so learn that. And then, we're going to learn what is the difference between an emotion and a feeling. We have to know those differences. But underlying thinking that must change to grow, must change. It's the underlying feeling that is always created. So you have to figure out what your underlying feeling is. How do you really feel about what you want? And how do you feel about yourself always? You know, some people want something. They think they want something. But they really don't want it. You know, they really don't. Their underlying feeling is, no, they don't want it. How many in relationships I find that a lot. One says, oh yes, I want that. They don't want that. The other person wants it. You know. So, learn the difference between there. Three are the dwellings of the Son of Man, body, thoughts, and feelings. What does that remind you of when I say body, thoughts, and feelings? And there are three.
Trinity.
A Trinity. Always in any of the religions, in any of metaphysics, there's always going to be a Trinity. There has always been a Trinity, and there will always be a Trinity. And here, within us, is our body, our thoughts, and our feelings. And what does that mean? You must feel it in your body, you must feel it in your thoughts, and you must feel it in your feelings. You must have those three working together so that all three are feeling the same thing, all three want the same thing. How many times is your thought, you have something in your heart, you really want something, but your head talks you out of it. But your head talks you out of it. If your head talks you out of it, you don't have a Trinity going, you're not going to get what you want. It's when the head and the heart relate that you get what you want. What we have to do is become what we want on the inside. Always going to be on the inside of us, you see. If we want peace, we must become peaceful. We must become peaceful in our body, in our thoughts, and in our feelings to be able to produce peace in this world. But if we pray for peace, we are saying that peace does not exist. And we must know that peace always exists. The truth is, peace always exists. The facts are, things are going on, conflicts and stuff are going on. So, we sit down with ourselves and we make ourselves peaceful. And then, our surrounding becomes peaceful. Our surrounding becomes peaceful. Remember, my little saying, we'll always have war as long as we have domestic violence. They cannot clear up domestic violence because it's always going to be the micro and the macro working together. Always going to be the same. And we can work on ourselves. We can't stop what's going on in these other countries. We know that. How many times have we tried to do that? But if we sit and do it within ourselves, that conflict will stop. To change the conditions of our outer world, all we are invited to actually become the conditions of our desire from within. From within. Actually become the conditions. See, we must become the conditions that we're looking for. If it's peace, if it's the relationship, if it's the money.
How do you become abundant then? How do you become abundant?
How do you become abundant? First of all, by stating, I am abundant, there is abundance all around me, and you start to feel abundant inside of you. You look out and you see abundance everywhere. Remember, when I'm stuck in traffic, I look at all the cars and say, what abundance there is. I watch cars go by, and I say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Look, everyone can afford a car. There must be abundance everywhere. There must be abundance everywhere. I was telling Reba the other day, she's wearing those Crocs down there. Now, that's abundant right there, those Crocs. Do you know how many Crocs they sell every month?
Hold on, 6 million. 6 million?
6 million Crocs a month they sell. Now that's abundance, isn't it? Okay. So you must see abundance everywhere when you see something. It's, oh my, look, you know. Remember, we can't count the sands and the grains of sand on the beach. You can't cross. I would have never been able to count all those crocs. Would you? Would you have ever guessed that?
Yeah.
Well, we have to know that things are abundant. So, you're living in lack and limitation because you're seeing lack and limitation. And you're feeling lack and limitation. So now you must learn to see abundance and feel abundance and become abundant. Does that make sense to you? Maybe we can work it out this way. Maybe you can help with this, Rita. What do you do now?
Oh, the level, here's the truth down here. So what I'm doing now, and we worked on a lot yesterday, is I'm operating in truth, which is where everything is happening. So when you plant a seed, The soil is where everything is happening. You see nothing up here in the world of fact. So the fact is, it looks as if nothing is happening. The truth is, everything is happening. So I can honestly say, business is booming and everything is happening. Doesn't matter if I see it here. It's all happening here. Just like the roots are growing in the soil.
See, you cannot live in fact. You have to live in the truth. The fact may be at the present moment that your bank account is low. But the truth is that money is always freely circulating and there's always a fine surplus. And you must live in that, which is the truth. If you're having difficulty with your health, you do not live in the disease and get interested in the disease. You live in the fact that you're always whole, complete, and perfect, and you live in that. It's a fact, and it's an event right now that you're going through. But the constant inside of you is always the same. The constant is always the same. Does that help you? You see? And we go outside always to something else and get away from the constant. When we get away from this center, and this center, by the way, that you have, is love. When you're all center, all you have to do is love yourself back to center. But you get all center and you start seeing, oh, I'm off center because I hate this, I don't do this, I didn't do that, da, 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 da. Now you're going further and further and further and further away from center. Instead of sitting down and saying, I am worthy, deserving, totally level, well, I matter, and I'm loving myself, I'm improving on myself, and I'm back to my center. You see, we have to do that. We bring ourselves back to those places. That's how you beat depression. That's how you beat any of those things. By knowing that the constant inside of you is love. The constant inside of you is divinity itself. It's divinity itself. You see? Now, let's look at this and call it the divinity inside of us. What else do we know about that? Well, divinity is love, right? That's inside of us. Divinity and love, one and the same thing. How many people here think of themselves and say to themselves, my body is a temple? But if your body is a temple, certainly divinity must be living inside of you. So, go back to your temple. Go back inside. Instead of looking outside yourself all the time. You see, there's nothing outside of you. There's nothing outside of you.
And I just want to point out how you said that if I give you an affirmation and it doesn't ring for you, make up another one. And you gave me that basic premise when I called you one time before our appointment. I said, okay, I'm suffering and I'm calling you. And you said, after we talked, you said, Enriva, you always must live in the truth. I just took that and made my own visual. So if the soil and the seeds work for you, great. I took what you said, and I had to make my own visual so that then I could feel it and have it ring for me.
Yes.
Perfect visual. That's
great.
Yeah.
I was talking to a client today on the phone consultation. And she said a friend of hers was there, and this amazed me, because for years, she was an elementary school teacher. And she said that she was talking about to her friend about our session together, and she said, well, what he's doing is he's fine-tuning it, and he's bringing the causing power right down to you, and he's showing you all this. Haven't you ever seen the idea of the magnifying glass? And she said, no. So she said, my friend took me outside with the magnifying glass. She said, we burn a hole in a leaf. I said, of course, because the power of the sun focused is like a laser beam. And that's what we're always doing. It's focusing. What is the main thing in life if you want something? What is the main thing in life?
Imagination.
Imagination is the greatest tool that you have in your toolbox. Focus. Always going to be focused. Now, here is a revelation. Let's exchange. You can all understand focus. Mm-hmm. You can understand focus with the sun and the magnifying glass, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Everyone understands focus. Does anyone here understand faith? Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Exchange the two words.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and focus are one in the same thing. If you have faith, you have brought this down and mm-hmm. you have focused it. So, people run around and say, I have no faith. How do I get faith? I can't believe. I can't do this. But you can focus, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
So, forget that and start to focus. And focus on what you want and not what you don't want. So, you're going to focus on abundance, prosperity, and money. You're going to focus on that. You're going to sit down after you leave here, or you can start right now. You're going to see yourself at that open house. And you're going to see that open house sold. You're going to see the signatures on the contract. Now, you're going to visualize all that. Now, you're going to start to feel what that will feel like. I will feel successful. I will feel glad. I will feel happy. I will feel relieved. Mm-hmm. You will get that feeling.
Yeah.
That feeling will do it for you. Then you say, and it's going to be done this Sunday. You see, you have to put a deadline on things. People say, oh, I'm going to get this Sunday, I'm going to get this, well, whatever they're saying. No. You say, no, I want it now. But we always say it's done now. We don't say it's done 3 days. It's done now. So keep that wonderful smile. Keep that wonderful attitude going. Attitude and feelings. Feelings, attitude, emotion. Get all that going. Get really excited
mm-hmm.
about that. See yourself going to the bank with that check.
See? Yeah, you can do that.
And that's the feeling that you get going. And then you'll make a demonstration. You'll make a demonstration. That's how it's done. Andy was telling me at dinner tonight that he is now able to watch the movements of his mind. And since business is slow right now for him, instead of his mind saying you're no good or you're this, that, or the other thing, or a piece of rotten, you know what, he can listen to it now and change that, can't you? You see? Because you see, God's not doing you in, you're doing yourself in. God's not out to do anybody in. We're doing ourselves in. You see, when we were children, it was all right, maybe, to think, oh, somebody else is responsible for all of this. No one's responsible for your life now but you. No one's responsible but you for your life. And you cannot give that responsibility to God. You have to take that responsibility. You have everything that you need to succeed. You see? So tell yourself that you have everything, and that you can do it, and that this power behind you that we call God wants to do it, wants to give you that. But you have to start with your feelings. It must occur in our thoughts, feelings, and bodies. Everything must occur in our thoughts, our feelings, and our bodies. You see? Once we have that trinity going, we're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. So don't let your head talk you out of everything. Well, closely related, thought and emotion must first be considered independently, then merged into a feeling that becomes the silent language of creation. The silent language of creation. So you see, you're going to learn how to create something by speaking the correct language. And the correct language is going to be your feelings. All this that I'm telling you tonight comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls. It comes from many things. People have known this, but they're proving it now with the Dead Sea Scrolls. But it comes from a group of people called the Essenes, which were 500 years before Christ. Many people think that Christ studied with these teachers because of the different things that he said. Because of the different things that he said. So, if they knew that way back then, it got lost in that 4th century edit of the Bible when they got rid of things. Now, it's time for us to get it back. Because now it's 2,000 years. We've been learning about God for 2,000 years. We have enough churches out there. We have enough people who say they believe in God. Then this whole world should absolutely be one big paradise. There should be none of this stuff that's going on. And it's going to stop going on when we learn how to speak correctly. Speak from the heart. Speak from the feelings. Speak from there. Because it's not going to happen in your mind. Now, emotion may be considered, and you have this, I gave you the sheet on emotion. Emotion may be considered the source of power that drives us forward towards our goals in life. It is the thought, the energy of our emotion that we fuel our thoughts to make, and it is through the energy of our emotion that we fuel our thoughts to make them real. See, we have to, just thoughts do nothing. You have to fuel them with something. So now we're going to fuel them with this emotion. And what way to flutter the emotions? That's easy. We only have two. Love or fear. Or whatever you think the opposite of love is. So, there you know the two emotions. That's easy. So, I would pick love if I did you. Fear, of course, manifests too. But try love. So once you know that that's the emotion, then you put the feeling in with that. And we combine those two with our thoughts, and lo and behold, we're able to manifest them. We're able to manifest them. How many people here have thought this, that, and the other thing for the longest time and nothing's happened? We have to start to feel. You can feel. You feel every other thing. You feel all on the opposite side. You feel the sadness. If you can feel the sadness, you can certainly feel the happiness. Mm-hmm. You can feel the joy. It's just the other side of the coin. You've always just been looking at the one side of the coin. Now just let's flip the coin over and look at the other side. And then don't be afraid of this. You see. Don't be afraid of it. That's half the battle right there. You know, what if I did get everything I wanted? Oh, I can't. I can believe in God up to a point. But I certainly can't believe that God's going to do all this for me. That I'm going to get what I want. Well, why wouldn't you? Remember that thing? John 23, I believe. Fear not, little flock, for give the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. But we have to know how to ask for that kingdom. It's there waiting for us. How many times have we used that expression? Ask and it will be given unto you. Knock and the door will open. Seek and ye shall find. We just didn't know how to ask, how to knock, and how to find. And now we're going to know that by using our emotions, our thoughts, and our feelings. And get what we want. And we all get discouraged. That's a feeling, isn't it? If you're discouraged, how are you going to manifest something? If you're discouraged and you're doing your affirmations or doing your treatment work, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Now, what is the other main thing we're going to learn? This is called the language. We call it the language of God. We'll say it's a technology, just like learning how to use a computer. You see, you can do that. Let's say God's the big computer in the sky. And you want to tap into that. You see, we can use things like that. Many people say, oh, you can't. You offend God. Now, I'm going to tell you that this thing that we call God is far and away above anything like that. God does not get offended. If God got offended, this earth would have been gone years ago. God does not get offended. You get offended. God does not get offended. So we have to ask. We have to do that for ourselves. So we know those things, right?
Good.
Oh, that wasn't what I was going to tell you, was it? What must we know along with that? What is the number one thing that we always must know when we're doing a treatment or we're doing an affirmation? Yes, it's already done. You have to realize that everything you want is already there, is already done. It's a great big, you look at the thing out here, and it's a great big mind of God, we'll call it. Everything is contained within the mind of God. Now, it may not look like it to you. When we say everything is done in the mind of God, that means all the elements are there to bring it together. You see? So you visualize what you want. When you visualize what you want, the pieces start to come together. When you feel what you want, the pieces come together even quicker and lay on top of each other and manifest for you. But it's already done in mind. Everything that you need for your demonstration is already done. Now you're the one that's choosing how you put the pieces together. You choose how you put the pieces together. And you do that with your feelings and with your visualization. What is it going to look like and how is it going to feel? Then this thing goes to work on that. You see, you must build the mold. You must build the mold. That's what you're doing. And then the substance is poured into the mold. And then it manifests itself. You see? But it's already done. Nothing has been added since day one to the universe, and especially to our little planet here. You know. Nothing new has come into this planet. We're drinking the exact same water that the dinosaurs drank. There's nothing been added to this planet. It's already here. Everything is already done. Just keep using it. We are the ones who are doing it. We're the ones that are creating our lives. We're the ones that are creating our lives through the choices that we're making. Moment by moment, we're making our choices. We're making our choices with our thinking and our feeling. See? And then things come into our life. People get sick. And we say, isn't that awful? Yes, I would say it was awful. And it seemed to have come suddenly. No, did not come suddenly. They've been thinking about it and feeling about it for years. For years. I hear that all the time. Oh, they never had a symptom, they never had this, and all of a sudden this. But they've been feeling and thinking it for years. And then it grows. Like Reva and the soil. There's things down there growing, people. Know what's in your garden. Know what's in your garden. See, most people don't know what's in their garden. They let weeds grow. Mm-hmm. If you had a real garden, you'd pull the weeds out, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. But you don't bother to pull out the weeds in your mental garden. You allow those weeds to choke the other stuff. You have to pull them out yourself. People think, well, I'll pray to God. God will get rid of this for me. I don't think so. You have two hands. You have a mind. Pull your own weave. Don't expect God to pull your weave. Raymond Charles Barker said, if you're waiting for your ship to come in, you better go to the harbor and have very strong hands and pull it in yourself. And pull it in yourself. You have to pull in yourself what you want. You have to pull it in. You're doing it. Don't wait for God. Don't wait for other people to do it. You have two wonderful, magnificent hands, strong hands. Pull it in yourself. Pull it in yourself. You know, when you do that, then you build your self-esteem. And when you build your self-esteem, you build your self-confidence. When you build those two things, then what do you have all of a sudden? Well, you say to myself, I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm totally lovable, and I matter. And you've done it yourself. Which brings us right back to life is a do-it-yourself project. You have to do it. You have to do it. So, this wonderful thing that we call God, absolutely is wonderful, absolutely is marvelous and mighty. But God is also useful. Learn to use God. Always. God is there to come through you. But God can only come through you through your feelings. Through your feelings. Because life and the organism is feeling. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Yay!